Mini episode 113 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, and it's mini episode 113 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, as we promised at the tail end of the last one here, breaking us down.
I remember you saying that before. And I was like, are we going to keep going? Or okay,
I said kind of, sort of.
Okay, all right. All right, so let's pick up where we were. That was kind of a very bizarre. Is there going to be any sort of like previously on in between these two?
Yeah, I don't think the folks will discern anything. Let me just get the one thing on this as far as the Rock goes. I want to make a point that you're going to find very unfair. You're going to find this incredibly unfair. But somewhere along the way, in the last 10 years, I think we had a little Freaky Friday incident here between The Rock and one Mr. Triple H. Because if you remember back in the day about the way that they used to be booked and the way that they used to insist on being booked and everything like that, well, all I know is Triple H, who, by the way, word came out before the show, if you heard this, that he signed a renewal on his contract where it will call for some appearances in the ring between WrestleManias. So Triple H will be a quasi-regular performer, i.e., it could have been at least a tiny bit borderline worthwhile for him to have been the one to go over The Undertaker. I think the booking was right, but you could have made a point for it.
No.
Because Triple H could have given the rub to some other guys. Well, look.
Oh, yeah, because that's going to happen.
Well, but here's my point. Triple H had the rub. He had the rep always for he's always got to go over, which was always the case. And The Rock, the unselfish guy who lay down for everybody. Well, there's never been a top guy in history. I don't ever want to hear again that The Rock always did what was right for business. I just hope this show puts that to rest. The Rock is a third-generation professional wrestler.
Just because one thing. See,
He knew what that match meant to the business.
And The
Rock could have said, Vince, I insist, I got to put this guy over.
You're being a hipster.
No.
Yes,
The Rock,
because what hipsters do is focus on the one exception to the rule.
Kyle, this outweighs so many things.
I'm telling you right now.
The top 10 most impactful jobs he ever did.
I don't think so. I disagree. I respectfully disagree. What you're thinking is, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, that it doesn't cast the last 8 years in negative light.
It does.
But I went back. I don't think I ever finished that point.
Okay.
About what the booking committee. I think they thought. Oh, maybe I did. Okay. I think that a Cena win would not have meant as much to the business as you think it does.
Okay.
I think it's like, okay, well, it's like, to me, it's like, okay, we either cast the last 8 years in a negative light or
send the crowd home happy for one night.
Yeah, but here's the
good choice.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Ricky. I don't think a Cena win would. I don't think the people have been like, you know what? This John Cena is pretty good. I'm going to tune in next week. I think they would have said, you know what? I will never pay $50 for a WWE pay per view again.
But they never made the point of the program from the very beginning. They never made the point of the program.
It was a stupidly booked program.
It was horrible.
Yes.
I thought initially the point of the program was going to be, yeah, they're going to butt heads, but eventually a strange new respect develops.
Really?
And by the time it's all done, The Rock gets beat, but he holds up Cena's hand. You know what? Hey, the better man won.
Was that you or was that somebody else who said they would have absolutely hated that finish? It must have been somebody else.
I might have said.
The crowd, here's the thing.
There's a difference between me finding it stupid and me acknowledging that that's what's best for business.
Yes, but here's,
I insist
yes,
that that's what's best for business.
But there's also a difference.
But you had to toughen up Cena's character while you were at it, and they never made a dent in doing that.
They didn't. Look, philosophically, I do not disagree at all with what you're saying. I'm just saying that it just wouldn't have worked in this instance. I'm kind of focused. This actually is an exception to the rule. It just would not the benefit of John's the benefits of Cena going over here. Mm-hmm. I understand them philosophically.
Yeah,
I just don't think it would have panned out. I do not think a Cena win at WrestleMania 28 would have meant that much for business.
Well, let's...
people view him basically as he's the top guy of the era anyway, and the match I just don't think was presented as such that, you know, people are like, you know what, by, you know, I do not think the kayfabe win would have resulted in these potential other, these people who could potentially buy pay-per-views down the line being like, you know what, John Cena is real good. I just think they would have been like, that's stupid.
Had they approached it from the beginning on the trajectory that I'm talking about, by the end of it,
yes,
you could have been there.
Possibly.
But if you're saying that by the time they got to WrestleMania, the fact that they had neglected to do that.
I mean, they were trying, but look, it's just, it goes back
to the
point.
They didn't try to alter Cena's character any.
It just goes to the fact that at the end of the day, if you want to just be realistic about it, not capable, John Cena's just not as good as The Rock.
He's
not
going
to be as big a star. And I guess they decided to pretend, and it's interesting because they ignore, quite frankly, they ignore what people are the quote unquote unwashed masses, what they would call them, think. They ignore it largely. They chose to actually pay attention to that opinion. I think they decided, you know what? We'll look kind of stupid to pretend that John Cena is better than The Rock.
They're going to pick this time of all times to stop pretending. Way to go, Vince.
All right, so let's transition now because they have
the very next night, the road to the next WrestleMania started as it sometimes does.
And it was a great Raw.
Wonderful.
The crowd was wonderful. And again, okay, here we're going to be talking about the same stuff here.
Yeah.
This was a crowd. Now, this was a little more unique of a crowd because I don't think the crowds in general will be quite as part. It's not like Cena Rock dynamic. This will be different. I think your average crowd will cheer for Cena over Lesnar. But even though, I'll tell you what, man, here's another problem they got too.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena is not exactly going to win mayor of Chicago anytime soon.
No, no. That's an unfortunate city for him. And
so
they should know that.
All right. So they debut Lesnar. They did it real well. It was really good. The video package they showed last week on Raw is phenomenal.
Yep.
The Lesnar character has been portrayed beautifully. You got the Cena character, and it has nothing... It didn't help him that he's off this loss to The Rock.
Right.
But the same problems exist had he won or lost. Now, I agree that it makes him easy. It certainly would have been easier for him to lose here had he won at WrestleMania. I think you'd agree with that.
Yes, yes.
But Brock Lesnar cannot lose this match.
Well,
because you know what? See, here's the thing. You're like, oh, for one night only, the crowd, it would have been a live crowd. Would have been like, guess what? It ain't one night only. Because if John Cena beats Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules, the crowd's going to poop on him again.
But if he beats the crap out of Cena with his bare hands and Cena, again, pulls like a ring post out and hits him over the head or something
I think you're giving the machine too much credit. I don't. Ricky, it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
The machine... they have tried everything. Think about this. I'm sorry. I've never seen anyone booked the way John Cena's been booked, like we just went over. The machine is clearly, it's been established. Look, there's a 6-year track record.
Yeah.
This machine, the machine being the WWE creative,
cannot
convince people that John Cena is someone. Now, there's some people that really like John Cena. I'm not, you know, going to scoff at them and say they're dumb or anything.
Stupid little kids.
Oh, no, come on. That's mean. Okay.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Well,
but,
sorry.
All right.
I apologize to you stupid little kids.
Yes, okay. But the adult males, you are not, there is nothing you can do to convince this group of people, this vocal and significant portion of your audience that John Cena is awesome, or that John Cena...
And that's because they are heterosexuals.
Well, okay, so your basic point, it's like, so I don't know what they do with him, but you cannot, if I don't care. Like I said, he can. I don't care what overbook a mania they do. Cena cannot win this.
By the way, I'm going to put me a nice big old caveat on what you said about the booking of Brock Lesnar thus far. Very good, except the putting of him with John Laurinaitis is ham-handed.
Yeah, that's
They're
bad.
Ham-handedly. Because I thought going
again,
into this thing.
Well,
because
it's the machine. The machine thinks, oh, if we do this, then the crowd will really get back. What?
You know what? If you're so committed, if you're so committed to the whole thing of, okay, Cena is still the baby face for the kids and the girlies and whatever that still like him, here's what you do with him in every feud. Now, this is going to be very unique, but here's what you do with him. You don't have to go further in quote unquote turning him heel, but you only put him against faces and you put him in ambiguous situations and you quote unquote let the crowd choose. He would be so much better off with Brock Lesnar if there wasn't a strong face heel dynamic to it, unlike the one they're trying to force feed. Let it be ambiguous, Kyle Ross.
I'm going to do something that maybe the audience isn't going to like right now.
Go ahead.
I'm actually going to put up a stop sign because that's a whole podcast to itself.
Yeah, that's
what
fine.
What you just said, because I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
I could not agree. We've disagreed a lot in the last 20 minutes or so. I could not agree more with what you just said.
All right, so we don't need to go
because
further.
Because there is, like, it's funny. John Cena actually. Maybe we can go a little down this road and see where it goes.
Well, we're kind of doing the post-mania,
Okay, John Cena, in many ways, is very representative of a lot of athletes today. For those who follow sports, have you noticed? And you do. Have you ever noticed that it seems, you know, and some examples here would be maybe Tim Tebow or LeBron James, compared to John Cena. They are both very popular and very hated. They're just, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so what is the next thing of, what's the next way to wrestling go? And I think I've said it in a podcast with you before, mini episode, that the WWE has a sort of an audience, I don't know if I want to say problem, but dilemma.
Yeah.
In that, particularly when it comes to Cena, it's very splintered. That it's interesting with Cena always is the one who brings the heat to the matches.
Right.
Okay, people either are there to boo him or they're there to cheer him.
Right.
And it's kind of a pretty cool atmosphere. So, shades of, you know, Cena, and rather than just, like, pretending it doesn't exist,
right.
I kind of do agree with you that they maybe should just embrace not to go, you know, the old Russo term.
Yeah.
Shades of gray, where I don't know how you could frame it, and this is something you and I will probably get into an eight-hour conversation off-air, but
yeah,
they have to, do you structure the storylines, I mean, I don't know if you do kind of like an invasion type thing where you'd have like the company guys, you know, the guys that, I don't want to pick anyone, but kids maybe like or something like that, you know. And on the other side, you have them always wrestling guys like you and I like, you know, like you've got like say that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan join together to lead some group of estranged, displaced miscreants. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's a slippery slope from there to Jeff Jarrett chosen one pseudo shoot crap, though. You got to watch it. I am the one that the writers have picked to the top.
I almost swore again. That's just dumb.
I'm provoking you.
Okay, yeah. That's dumb when you say that. You don't have to say that stuff. But you can just have it where it's like the guy where you have the guys speak from the heart.
Right.
You know, CM Punk never, you know, he talked about, he did a few maybe, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of stuff, but it wasn't obnoxious in a Vince Russo kind of way.
Right.
And maybe you just have that dynamic where you've got kind of it's not the chosen, because see, that was done in a heel way, like you know, the no good, you know, the powers that be like me, and they don't give a damn about you.
They're gonna write me to pin your shoulders to the mat.
I'm not saying that Cena needs to be like is corporate Cena,
okay?
Because people wouldn't view him that way.
Right.
I'm saying you just have him as like
how people react to him.
It's kind of like I love the WWE.
Yeah.
Okay. And CM Punk is. I hate the WWE.
Yeah.
You know, where, because here's the thing. Stars don't necessarily draw anymore. I know The Rock obviously means has moved business and Cena is more important, but the brand draws. WrestleMania draws right. to an extent, and it's like if you make it good, it'll draw a little better than normal, like they did this year.
Right.
Maybe you just frame the company moving forward as the brand versus outsiders.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, where it's... Where
the iconoclasts it's, who don't want to be part of the machine.
Yes, where it's like... Whereas, now, you're kind of thinking, okay, well, if these guys kind of, you know, the Cenas of the world, you know, kind of... Here's the thing. I think it's almost like the cynical against... What's the opposite of cynical?
Rose-colored glasses... Yeah. Cheery optimist.
Yes.
I think that's the Indians are for real this year. Like, the Indians are going to win 85 games.
Okay, yes. Okay. John Cena, would you not admit, is a company guy?
Absolutely.
But he's not the kid. And most people recognize that, right? Yeah. He is the face of the WWE.
And they try to put the good spin on that. Yes. He visits sick kids in hospitals.
Yes. And to some people, that matters.
Yeah.
He's not Dude Love. Unforgiven 98.
Right.
Where this is the company man.
Right.
That's a bad thing.
Right.
And I'm saying that...
And CM Punk in his promo tried to draw a line between the two and to say that to be one is to be the other. That if you are the company guy, then you're a kiss ass.
Yes.
You're a guy who kissed
yes.
ass to get
but here's
to the top.
The thing. Not everyone believes it. Now, people like you and I
right.
appreciate it, but it's a different dynamic.
Right.
It would be that shades of gray. Like, some people... Like, there are people, I think a lot of the Cena fans understand that he is the face of the company.
Right.
He's the company man. They may not know, use those terms.
Right.
But they subconsciously understand that, and they don't boo him because of it. They think, hey, this is, you know, I'm here to see the WWE.
Right.
And John Cena is this great representative of the WWE. You know, they,
right.
again, there's a WWE mentality, is there not?
Yeah, there is.
Their way of doing things.
Yeah.
And they have these predisposed notions. We're going to push these guys because this is... guys who they're stars the way we think stars should be. And then there's the CM Punks. CM Punk is over not because of the machine. CM Punk is over because of CM Punk.
Right.
Okay, they tried to cut his legs out from under him at numerous things.
Yes.
He got over in spite of the machine, not
yes.
because of the machine. So I'm saying, let's draw a line in the sand. Who's gotten over because of the machine
mm-hmm.
and who gets over in spite of the machine? And I'm not saying it needs to be two locker rooms, red and blue shirts. No,
right.
no. I'm just saying let's embrace that dynamic and have a lot of things where, look, you just have kind of, it's almost like a pay-per-view could be like a neutral site basketball game where you
okay.
have two cheering sections.
Okay. That's, I mean,
like,
but
it's,
are you talking about outright replacing the face heel dynamic?
I don't know.
Or
I
here's
think
the
I
thing.
Am.
Here's the thing.
I think I'm not talking about replacing it. I'm talking about putting a new spin on it.
Where
there is no universal face and universe like that each segment of because this is the way it is, Ricky.
Yeah.
You know it is. You watch wrestling.
Yeah.
These two there. It seems to me that there are two. And what the percentages are, what the makeup is, I don't know. We're
yeah.
coming off a time period where the vocal minority maybe is heard a little more than the rest of the year.
Sure.
But there are instances, you know, Chicago, you know, okay, I don't think that was a WWE crowd last July at Money in the Bank.
No,
right?
It wasn't.
Okay, you
right.
know, they would be like, oh, the bizarro world, I don't understand. You know, Michael, I don't understand these people, what they're doing, really.
That,
I mean,
that was when they were still fighting
yeah,
the whole
yeah,
CM Punk face
turn.
Don't
they get it? CM Punk will leave with the world title. You know,
right.
he's not, but.
Yeah.
Don't you get it, Michael Cole or Machine? That these people don't give a damn what you're saying.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
So that I get that the traditional, I guess, face heel dynamic would be destroyed, I guess what I'm saying.
Here's
here's the thing. It could be disastrous, but I think it would be interesting.
Here's what you do. I'm telling you, here's what you do.
And they've done it though before with Bret Hart, 97. How remember? With the U.S.-Canada dynamic?
Yeah.
Now, that was a little different.
And that the entire... I have a problem with the entire card, the entire company being enveloped in that.
They don't
you
have
use,
to be.
No, and here's what you do. Use the brand split. One of the shows is face heel. One of the shows is what you're talking about. Yeah, you can't abandon face heel altogether.
I'm not saying you do, but...
And you enforce the lines between the shows. No crossovers, none of this cheating crap. One shows face heel. One shows what you're talking about. It's funny. You've put a lot more thought into this than me. My only thought was getting back to Brock, just that put Cena in with guys. My point is, in a nutshell, I'm going to sum it up for you. Just what my initial point was. Have the balls to have the courage of your convictions. You say, let the crowd decide. You say, oh, 50-50 crowd, folks. Put them in there with guys and let the crowd decide.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Cena's got his vocal supporters,
the crowd,
let's hear how vocal they are.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though.
Why?
And it speaks to what I just said.
Yeah.
As much as it's as bad as it is to see your number one babyface booed like he is,
yeah,
there are a lot of people that like him. Like I said, it's kind of like, I mean, Hogan.
Put him in there with another face and let the chips fall where they may. That's where they should have left Lesnar, a tweenerish face.
The thing is, though,
people want to cheer
for him. I think they're doing the same
thing.
Don't
dissuade the people from cheering for Brock Lesnar.
All right, now here's the thing. Do you agree from a machine perspective? Here's the problem. Here's where I stand with Cena. There's a certain part of the audience that will never accept John Cena as the babyface,
yeah,
and they will never cheer him.
Right.
The people who do support John Cena now, are those people, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything or saying I'm smarter, I'm cooler, I know better than these people.
Okay.
Are they easier to manipulate?
I will assert that I am.
Okay. Would they be easier to manipulate? Like, if Cena turned heel,
uh-huh,
wouldn't it certainly, don't you think that it would be easier to get for, if you, again, the machine, would it not be easier for the machine to get a universal heel reaction for Cena than it would be to get a universal babyface reaction?
Yeah, I think so.
But here's an interesting thing, though. And I talked this to someone.
If Cena was portrayed as a simpering type of heel,
yes,
and not as a cool heel, which,
yes,
is how he flipped.
Okay. Okay.
That's how it goes.
Interesting you brought that up, because that's,
yeah,
going to bring my next point.
Yeah.
I talked about this with somebody that's important in such matters.
Okay.
And I kind of laid out a John Cena heel
turn. I'm interested in hearing a little perspective here.
I laid out this John Cena, oh man, this is what they should do. You know, he should lay into it and be like, you tools, you know, I get, mm-hmm, laid more in a week than you have in your entire life and stuff like,
uh-huh,
that. And this person, you know, he told me, he's like, you know, that's really good, but you know, what's kind of the grand irony of it? The people who boom now start cheering for him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
If he was a cool heel in that way, if he was a badass who spoke his mind, if he was a simpering corporate puppet, you know, and just, mm-hmm, embraced being a corporate puppet more,
mm-hmm,
then that would be the thing. And I got to tell you, too, and I know that perception, we talked about this in the case of Cena Rock at WrestleMania, I think perception is pretty dangerous in this match as well. And I'll tell you, with what Brock said on Monday night, you know, where would you have been the last 8 years if I was here? He beat him in a glorified squash on pay-per-view in 2003. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, we are
Again, I mean, keep in mind, this is a company that pretended WrestleMania 17 really never happened.
No, but I
with
mean,
Triple
they,
H
on their, they on their website have played it up. They faced before who now, who would have, you know, he was facing a younger, less experienced John Cena. You know, this is the dream match because they're now equals.
Yeah, but
they are at risk of tearing down brick by brick the John Cena legacy.
Maybe they
with a
should.
Consecutive loss.
Because maybe the John Cena legacy don't mean two squirts of piss.
Kyle, they just have nothing to replace.
Maybe
it with.
They just do. Maybe they turn into something where they, and the problem is that eventually the reservoir dries up.
Yeah.
That, look, we're just going to be honest with ourselves. It ain't as good. Because here's the thing. It isn't as good now as it was then. I mean, you could try to manipulate people into thinking it is, and
yeah,
and I'm not saying that they'd be wrong to do that either.
Right.
But maybe they're just saying, hey, you know what? Because I heard the rumors. Because let's go to this.
Yeah.
Who should Lesnar wrestle at WrestleMania next year?
There's some
talk. All right, two questions.
Rock's going to be in a title match. We kind of know that. He indicated
Yeah,
that.
He did do that. I liked that they did that.
Yeah.
By the way, you talk about The Rock and, mm-hmm, oh, not a, his promo,
yeah,
was phenomenal the night after WrestleMania.
And
it was.
He did try to put Cena over.
He did.
Somewhat.
It was.
You know,
it was. I don't care what you say about good for bit, not doing good for bit. It was the best babyface promo. Again, it had a lot to do with the crowd,
yeah,
that he was doing in front of. I've seen it in a long time. There is, and it speaks to kind of what I was saying. There's no one on the current roster that can cut a promo that well.
Right.
There just isn't.
That's true.
There just isn't. And I thought that promo, he had those people. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny that, like, maybe a person like you or I would kind of roll our eyes. What, you know what I'm going to do now? Mm-hmm. I want to be WWF champion. It's like, oh, God, that's cheesy. Dude, that crowd ate that up, man. They want that.
They did.
Want that. And I think a lot of people want that. So
there's talk about Brock going in as the champion. But does it make sense to have him plow his way through the roster only to drop a match to a pure special attraction?
Well,
again, they clearly don't care about these things. Maria Menounos is going to pin Beth Phoenix. The Rock is going to pin
Okay, the Maria Menounos pin means nothing.
But I'm just saying, they have a penchant for outsiders. Floyd Mayweather, let's sign him to go over Big Show. They have a penchant for soiling own talent at the hands of outsiders. And yes, The Rock's an outsider for these purposes. Is he on house shows every week? No.
Well, the house shows are dead, yes.
But, I mean, The Rock's an outsider for these purposes.
Well, maybe they're just going to maybe they're just like, okay, again, WrestleMania. No longer the conclusion of year-long story. No longer the final chapter in a year of stories. Maybe they're just going to use WrestleMania now. It's like, you know what?
WrestleMania, : the only thing that matters.
Yeah, and you know what?
That's kind of where they've been the last 2 years anyways.
You know what we're going to do, kids? We're just going to find the two biggest stars we can.
Right.
Not have an organic storyline. Just basically just have two big stars that have some sort of tie to wrestling.
Right.
And we're going to have them as the marquee match because look at what they sold. I mean, Rock's scene, you know, they had an outside. The two big draws were not traditional wrestling storylines.
Mm-hmm.
The most traditional wrestling storyline on WrestleMania 28 was Punk Jericho.
Right.
As far as the marquee matches go, as far as the card goes. The two biggest draws were the return of The Rock, a past star.
Right.
And The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak.
Well,
those two draws
have
nothing to do with the other 11 months of the year.
No, they don't.
And here's the thing. You could say that ain't right. That ain't right. That's not good for business. And here's another.
Do they make enough in one day to make up for that?
That's what I was about to say. Because look, this show,
I don't know if we know that.
It has not been confirmed, but I just read that, you know, it is the biggest grossing wrestling pay-per-view of all time. Now, it's going to be the biggest moneymaker.
And yet, short of what they were hoping for. They were hoping for a little more. They were hoping to surpass it by more.
When you set the record, though, you set the record, okay?
Yeah.
You can't do any better than being number one of all time.
Right.
Except being number one of all time, I guess, by a large margin. But it could be. I mean, this show did 1.3 million buys, so maybe.
I don't know that in real dollars it was necessarily bigger than, say, WrestleMania 3 or something. I mean,
we are
living under the Obama hyperinflation. What do dollars even really mean these days? So I just had to slip that in there. But, no, the look you're giving me.
I'm going to talk to Steve or somebody, have that removed from his podcast. Okay.
The look you're giving me is awesome.
But, no, it's funny because I don't know if you read the most recent copy. Am I allowed to put over outside publications?
Yes.
The newest version of the Wrestling Observer.
Okay.
It talked about this.
I haven't seen that hit the transom, by the way, but
okay,
go ahead.
Okay. It talked about this show and its placement against the other top WrestleManias, because no one would argue that this Wrestle. I know it set the all-time record.
Right.
But no one is going to argue that it was a bigger deal than some of the earlier WrestleManias. You know, you and I go back. We're old school. We're in our 30s. We remember what WrestleMania, you know, what a big deal WrestleMania used to be. This WrestleMania is not as big, you know, domestically. It will be one of the top three or four.
Right.
But do you know that WrestleMania 5, I'm going to throw out some crazy numbers. WrestleMania 5 did like almost 800,000 domestic buys.
Yeah.
In a pay-per-view universe of 13 million. Just so people know, the pay-per-view universe now is like 99 million.
That is remarkable. That is truly, truly remarkable.
Okay. So I can't tell from those ugly uniforms. What is it? Is that Sweden playing right now, by the way? Who is
that
this?
That might as well be.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, Sweden would be, by the way, more deserving of an NHL franchise than Nashville, Tennessee, by the way.
I think anybody would, yes.
Okay. But anyway, WrestleMania 5, which is this maligned WrestleMania, by the way, did almost 800,000 domestic buys in a country that was only wired at the time 13 million. That's 1989.
Right.
You want to go even crazier? Listen to this. WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so pay-per-view grew tons between 87 and 89.
Yeah.
Listen to this number. This is astounding.
Right.
There were only 5 million homes wired for pay-per-view in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 3 did 400,000 buys.
Wow. That is So shy of one out of every 10. That is, wow. Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Choke on that, slap nuts. Okay. Yeah. All right. 400,000. And, you know, if anyone's got the Observer, maybe I hope I didn't botch that. But I'm pretty sure I did read it several times before when I was waiting for you to come over here.
Okay.
And then, you know, the Meltzer argues that although WrestleMania 3 is bigger to wrestling fans,
yeah.
He says you can't, and I wasn't actually watching wrestling at this point, so I can't speak to this, that no WrestleMania had the interest to the casual crew. Oh, good. I bet Nashville tonight, by the way.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, all right, but I apologize.
For celebrating the end of my hero's career.
Really? He's your hero? Lindstrom?
Yeah.
Really? Not
yeah.
Stevie? I always figured you was a Stevie Y man.
Yeah, Lindstrom's my 1A.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you. Anyway, so back to the point at hand. That as far as the, you know, that casual fan that they relish so much, you know, that WrestleMania 1 will never be topped. That the amount of mainstream media
right.
that show received will never be. And again, because it was new, WrestleMania, it was the first
right,
one. You know,
right.
people like, well, it's kind of crazy, and you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Hogan was the new fad. Celebrity involvement of Mr. T was a very big deal. People,
right.
I think, that weren't around in the '80s don't understand what a pop culture icon Mr. T was at that time. He was
right.
a legitimate tough guy, and then the heel work.
It was a big deal for fools to be pitied.
Yes, and the heel work. I mean, I can't. I'm trying to think of like a celebrity of today. That would be on par, that they could get involved, that could be on par with Mr. T.
For today?
Yeah, think about that. Well, I just kind of compliment the heel work of Roddy Piper that also made a big deal going into the first WrestleMania. Like, who's a celebrity? Like, would it be like a Tim Tebow or a LeBron James? I mean, was T that big of a deal?
Yeah, he was.
You think? That's the kind of thing.
My first thought, just because somebody I'd like to see bitch slapped, can we get Justin Timberlake in there?
Yeah, but see, okay.
So he's too much bigger. Okay.
No, he's not too much bigger. He's the wrong dynamic.
Okay.
Because you have to remember, this guy's got to be even LeBron wouldn't be that good. He's got to be a baby face.
He's just part of, you know.
Justin Timberlake's a guy people would want to see, like, get his ass kicked. Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah,
a guy
but Mr.
Who,
T
like,
was a guy that they really
supported.
It's put out
there as a sex symbol who's actually part of the neutering of America, which I just object to.
Okay, that's
it's kind of like
different.
Tobey Maguire being Batman. You know, it's,
you mean Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I'm sorry,
you know, that's
Spider-Man.
Funny. We agree on that.
Spider-Man.
Did I ever go this?
Like,
I hate that.
I don't want to see a beta male as Spider-Man.
And I don't want to hear people say, but in the comic books, Peter Parker is a real wuss.
Shut up. Yeah, I want a superhero.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I got one thing we agree
okay,
on.
Okay,
there
we go. Hey, look, we're starting to agree on this program.
Wow.
But,
that's a very unliberal point of view there.
Listen here, and I want you to listen good.
Yes.
I don't know who that person would be, that who that crossover celebrity that the people really would want to cheer for in wrestling would be. But, so, you know, that was, you know, this WrestleMania was not as big a deal as those three of the first five.
Okay.
I don't think it was. Domestically, shows that did better buy rates. 17, it will not beat, nor should it. You know, 17, that was kind of the pinnacle of that era. And then 21 is up there as well.
Okay.
Which was the last, and I don't think I got to spit this out, that was the last great storyline
okay.
they built, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Look at all the main events of the WrestleManias after Triple H, Batista.
Right.
And remember, again, after that one, we lumped them all together in one podcast, folks.
That's
knew what
true.
We were doing. That was the last storyline main event WrestleMania. Ever since then, you look at it, Cena, Triple H.
Right.
What was the storyline there? Can't remember. I mean, okay, if you put me on, I could probably try to remember it. But, you know,
King of Kings getting back on his throne.
It wasn't, or 23, Cena, Michaels. Was that a big, long, no?
Kind of passing the torch, kind of thing.
It not the same dynamic as Triple H, Batista.
No, not at all.
24, you know, you had, you know, Michaels. Flair, I guess, did have kind of that traditional wrestling story built
Undertaker
to it.
Edge streak versus quasi streak.
Yeah, but that's kind of the modern WrestleMania promotion with the streak.
Yeah.
25, I guess Triple H.
25 sucked, as we already covered with the whole. These programs were horrible.
Had it not been for that Michaels Undertaker match, that would have been one of the worst.
That Cena Edge Big Show program was one of the most forgettable title programs in WrestleMania.
So was the
history.
The Raw, the Cena Triple H Orton from 24.
Yeah, that's true.
26 had sort of Cena, Batista. A lot of these were just insta feuds that were started WrestleMania season.
Yeah,
you know,
they were.
So
That was when they were in that whole thing of let's wait until Elimination Chamber to even start to tip our hand on what the card's going to be.
Yeah.
Stupid. They've gotten out of that
by
the last 2 years.
By the way, I have a major problem with Elimination Chamber. And I've mentioned this to people that people that matter. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I think the Elimination Chamber is misplaced.
Okay.
And in the calendar year, it should not be the February pay-per-view because it could really mean something.
Aren't they moving it off of there, I think?
I think they are. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because the person I said that to completely agreed with me and said,
yeah.
I actually don't even think there should be a pay-per-view in February.
Right. Well, and this is where, in the Brave New World, WWE Network, maybe that is your Clash of the Champions.
Yeah, what they used to do in the old Bayard day, what did they do?
Saturday night main event.
The main event.
The main event,
Friday. You know, they had the big, you know, that was what, you know, with WrestleMania 5, that was never's a long time, but that was what most people consider to be their greatest storyline of all time.
Right.
The formation and breakup of the Mega Powers.
Right.
They did it so well, planned it out well in advance, and they executed the breakup at the perfect time on the, you know, in front of, you know, millions of people. Shades with, you know, the year before, although that WrestleMania 4 into a huge number, because the tournaments don't typically draw well in pay-per-view anyway, but, you know, Hogan Andre, they did the big angle on NBC.
Right.
You know, so, again, from a mainstream perspective, I don't think they can get that kind of love.
Right.
Again, that NBC, you know, Dick Everett gave them, they'll certainly not do the ratings, those two shows. I mean, those two shows did ungodly ratings.
Right.
But, you know, this WrestleMania is a thumbs-up WrestleMania to me.
Yeah, basically.
And I mean, it's a thumbs-up. Yeah, look, do they have their problems? Yeah. I just don't know if Cena going over it would have fixed them at all.
All right. Well, just a handful more things of things going forward here in the post.
Well, you never answered, by the way. What should the main event of WrestleMania 29 be?
What should it be? Okay.
What do you want it to be? I don't Rock Lesnar.
Undertaker. I want that. I want Cena Undertaker.
That's one of the few big matches that they've done it, but again, they haven't done it.
I wanted to see it at 25. Could you imagine that in Houston? That would have been something. Anything in Texas is just going to be extra
heat. At one point they were discussing it, and they just kind of wiped it off. It might have been that year.
The Undertaker tombstoned him at a Raw on MSG.
And
it went nowhere.
Yeah.
I think that's when they were thinking about it, and then they backed off of it. I think that's – and it, the thing that's kind of sad –
Are those your top two, Matt? I mean, who should Lesnar's
Brock,
opponent? Who should Lesnar should...
– Brock, I think, so that 10 years later, Rock can get his win back.
Do you think that should be the title match? Then that you think, because here's the thing, I've heard some people, and I agree with this, that Lesnar should come in and just now it doesn't speak well for the current crew,
right?
Okay, and I understand that, but maybe it doesn't matter, it's not always fair. You know, Hulk Hogan, you know, got away with a lot of stuff that wasn't fair to the rest of the crew, but he deserved
it. Yeah, but Brock's not a long termer either.
No,
Brock
he's not.
If Brock was here for the next 5 years, I could justify the monster heel push.
Well, should he come in and just destroy everyone, unify the titles, and job to the Rock?
Yeah, unified.
Well,
let's not even talk unified because it'll never happen. In a perfect world, it would have happened a long time ago.
It should. Well, is he the man to do it? And here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Rock wins it. Well, The Rock's not going to be champion forever.
Yeah.
And then you have The Rock as a unified champion who beat Brock Lesnar. Then he does
dropping him like the next month.
Well, maybe not the next. Well, okay, whatever.
Yeah. By his schedule, yes,
okay,
the next month.
But you then have him as the champion.
Yeah.
Then put over the guy to lead
the
next generation. Did I just make everyone happy?
All right, if you're going to complete the story in that way, that would be fine. And if it ends up,
you are being short-sighted.
How about a heel Cena coming off the Undertaker win to then beat The Rock? That would be something. And then that would have enough heat on it.
Sure, and I don't know who your number one babyface is that you've...
Punk or a guy that I'm going to get to in a moment here who is not even currently on that side of the fence but soon could be. Quick backup here just for a second. As a name popped into my mind here for the Mr. T of today, is it a prerequisite in your mind that the Mr. T of today coming into this thing have a relatively tough image?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that'll here I was going to homer for a guy who is the nexus between my favorite TV show and my favorite movie franchise. I was going to suggest Ed Helms, but I guess if the prerequisite...
Ed Helms!
Well, he's as big of a star as Mr. T, is he not? As Mr. T was?
There are people probably listening to us who don't know who Ed Helms is.
He's on the top sitcom on NBC. And that was the top action show on NBC at the time.
Yeah, but here's...
Top movie franchise.
Ricky. It's way more splintered now. That's a that's okay. An issue.
All right,
okay,
all right.
Being on the top sitcom on NBC now does
true.
Not mean what it used to be.
Right.
There's a little thing that's come along called cable television.
Okay, okay.
Who the hell watches sitcoms on NBC, by the way?
I watch that, and I watch Parks and Rec. I never miss them. Yeah. I love those shows. But anyways, I am quite a loyalist based on some of the things that have happened on The Office in recent years. But anyways,
it's just like my office.
I'm sorry, I actually don't get into that show. It confuses me.
I've always loved that show.
I don't like shows. You know what? Somebody told me, and I think they're right, and I realize this. I don't like shows where like good people or something. Like all the shows I watch, like all the protagonists are generally terrible people. Like the Sopranos and Breaking Bad,
Mad Men,
you know, like
Justified.
I don't watch that one.
Justified is a little bit of an anti-hero.
Boardwalk Empire. I like Boardwalk Empire a lot. You watch that?
I don't have HBO. That makes me sad to hear you mention that.
You can come over on Sundays, buddy.
Oh, maybe I will. Okay. Maybe I will. But the thing as far as the matches for next year and the things going forward. Maybe this is a way to tie it going full circle here, because if you're talking about somebody.
They're not going to do that.
How do you even know what I'm going to say? How
because
do you
I do.
Even know?
You're going to, because you were alluding. You tipped your hand already, Mr. Poker.
You do not.
You're going to say
I
Daniel
will say
Bryan.
Quite strongly that, yes, you do not know.
Daniel
yes,
Bryan is what you're
going
to say.
Go,
okay.
Yes, where I'm going to go with this thing.
By the way, in my office, you know what we do now? When something goes our way, me and this guy, we all go, yes, yes, yes. We start doing it. It's kind of fun. They are. If you think, look, here's what you got to understand, Mr. Idealist.
Why would he get a lukewarm face push coming off this? If they push him,
the idea that they're going to make this new star at WrestleMania, I just don't see it happening until they get real desperate. See, Vince
McMahon. Well, you're the guy saying before on this. Wait to see how the full story unfolds with Daniel Bryan. Well, I'm trying to take your point.
It's going
to
get
with it here.
Look. I'd love for him to become like this new face of the company. That'd be awesome. I love Daniel Bryan. But the situation, I just don't see that happening right now. I do not see them putting Daniel Bryan over like Brock Lesnar.
And here's the thing, though. And you've alluded to some of these other issues and things that we've read in the sheets. There are things that are established about Randy Orton, CM Punk, maybe not always the smoothest public personas in a way that John Cena is. I think we can both agree. Daniel Bryan is going to be as smooth as he needs to be as a face of the company if it ever gets to that point. He has a persona and a personality that can shine through. He, I think, would be more agreeable to doing these things. I don't think that's even an issue.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's
more of a good soldier, I think, than they are in those ways, and that would work for him. And ironically,
he could look. You never say never.
You know,
he's
one of his.
I mean, I'm not. I'm going to be the first to say if you would have told me Steve Austin would change the industry when they signed him in '96, I would have been he's real good. But come on, man. It just takes you to get real hot. I don't know. I don't know.
He's at that point where
I don't think he is because of his size.
And that'll matter. I'm not blind.
He is small. He's small.
It's just in.
Yeah, he's small.
Rumor has it.
I just don't know if he has enough of what they want. See, Steve Austin, it's interesting. A lot of the stars that era, it was out of necessity and desperation. That's not what made it so great is it was so un-McMahon-like.
Right.
What happened. But he had to.
But as we've been
he doesn't have to do that now.
Even before this, we were reading in the sheets, if I remember correctly, that Vince was kind of warming to him a little bit.
Yeah, but kind of warming and building your company around him are two different things. I mean, you can be kind of warm to him, okay?
Look, I mean,
the dude Three Olives Vodka. I'm not drinking it every
night. You're getting ahead of me as far as build a company around. I'm saying I could see them putting the title on him on Raw, and then, look, when they put the title on CM Punk on Raw, even a second time in the fall, that wasn't an oath of blood or anything like that. It was, okay, we'll put it on you and we'll see how it goes. That's what I'm talking about for Daniel Bryan,
well,
and then I think Daniel Bryan can grow from there to become the face of the company. I'm not saying it's predestined by them that he would get it and he would do that, but I'm saying he could into the opportunity to do that based on, as you say, the paucity of available options.
Yeah, I did not like the way his title reign came down. I thought he did a marvelous job.
Yeah.
Given the outlet he had.
Yes.
Which, I mean, he did not have, he was not given a platform that, say, Triple H or Undertaker get.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen this guy, I mean, he's good on the mic.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan is good on the mic. I still call him Bryan Danielson a lot sometimes. Yeah. That's dumb.
That's good for you. That's good for your indie credit.
Yeah, yes. But I don't, I mean, look, I think I'm confident that he's going to get some opportunities.
Yeah.
I just hope they're good opportunities and he can make the most of them.
Okay. That's not too much to hope for.
He will be given chance to shine. I mean, it'll be interesting to see on this pay-per-view. Look, I mean, I don't know. Sheamus has never exactly, you know, had great match. I mean, no one's going to mistake him for the, you know, finest worker of our time. But it'll be interesting to see, because the thing with Daniel Bryan is the more time he gets in the ring, it's kind of like a Benoit.
Right.
Where, you know, people like you and I, perhaps, and others that listen to these kind of shows, in 96, 97, 99, mid-90s, like, this guy is really good. Okay, I just read an old observer.
Best of all, he's as good of a person as he is a worker.
Okay, stop it. Okay. Okay.
We thought that, anyways.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, that was part of the draw of 20. Here's this hardworking guy, you know, that we've supported through years. Yeah.
What a feel-good story.
Okay, but here's the thing.
He'll never let us down.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Look, it ended messy, but I'm just saying because I think it's a good comparison here.
Hope it ends better for Daniel.
Yes, yes. I mean, you could make the same with Guerrero, but again, that was a bad ending. Not as bad. But here's the thing. Those in the know, you know, knew how good these guys were in the mid-90s.
Sure.
So we'll lump them all together.
Sure.
Okay. Jericho, too, to a lesser extent.
All the vanilla matches.
Okay,
yeah.
But guess what?
Malenko.
I'm not blaming the Rubes for not understanding how good they were back then.
I kind of am.
No,
why weren't they with it more? Come on.
Because they just don't know. Because you have to understand. Here's what you know about this, and this will help your life. I'm about to give you some life advice, Ricky, okay?
All right.
You have to understand.
This should be rich.
Okay, that some people just don't have that kind of time to invest. It goes back to the X's and O's, I said. People don't want to.
That's something you picked up from Tyrone on
No, okay? No, I did. People don't have the time to invest to break down cover two defenses.
Okay.
People don't have the time to invest. Now I do, obviously, okay. But I've done it at the expense of other things that probably I should have done.
Okay.
People don't have the time to invest in learning cover two defenses. People don't. Look, there are wrestling fans, and then there are wrestling fans who will buy videotape. Well, I mean, no one does that anymore. But, like, you know, back in the day, people who spend their time ordering videotape ECW tapes off the internet. Okay? People, the casual fan who was into the Monday Night Wars and liked wrestling a lot.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not blaming them because they didn't spend their allowance or whatever on ECW tapes from in the Super J Cup 1994, okay?
I always said when we were at the ROH shows there, whenever you'd be over at the merch table, my joke always was, well, if you can't trust an indie promoter with your credit card number, who can you trust?
Yes, exactly. So I don't fault those people, but here's what's interesting. Here's my point.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's like those guys that I mentioned.
He is like the modern version.
In that, when you give him the platform Daniel Bryan needs initially is very simple.
Right.
He needs to be allowed more in-ring time because he is so talented, there's no disputing it, that the more in-ring time he gets, the more people will be like, well, this guy's good. And that's what happened with Benoit and Guerrero. In WCW, they were either, and there were certainly notable exceptions. I mean, with Eddie, the match he had with Ray at Halloween Havoc 97, although I will always bitch to this day that immediately following that match, they cut to a Hulk Hogan promo where he threatened to walk out of the arena and completely made everyone forget about the match.
Right.
But they were never positioned. You know, on Nitro, their matches kind of were short, and their pay-per-view matches were never positioned as important, even though they did get time.
Right.
You know, when they came to WWE, they were given not only time, but they're like, hey, this is an important match.
Right.
And people were like, you know, I always knew this guy was a good wrestler, but he's really, really good. Like, he might be the best. And if you give Bryan that opportunity, the same thing can happen. He is not a pop. Daniel Bryan will never be a pop culture icon, say, like a Hogan, a Austin, a Rock, and maybe to a lesser extent Cena is. But yeah, he can. I mean, he's very good. I mean, he carried an indie promotion.
You may glance at me a tad askance as I say this, but here's the thing. Benoit, jokes aside, is the most popular point of comparison for a lot of people for Daniel Bryan. But here's what I see. I see a guy who can work like Benoit, but I put him more personality-wise akin to Eddie and Jericho. There is a wit to him. He does.
No, I've seen him on the email.
His persona is why the fans are going ape shiite for him. It's not, he's a great worker. I watched him in ROH in 2004.
Yeah, you're right. There is a little, you're right.
The people in Miami are popping for the goofy
It's both. Yeah, I mean, both factors matter.
It's both.
You're right.
He has more charisma than Benoit. Vince looks for that something that comes through the screen. He's got at least a little bit of that. Let's give him credit for it. That's why he's on the verge of a breakthrough.
He does have more charisma. Benoit, even when he was, it was more like, okay, like what's the hook for Benoit? Like if people are like, I don't really like this. Like,
I always thought they could have done more. You know, silent but violent, the whole deadly badass.
Yeah, I mean he was not.
I have to watch my words here, but in retrospect,
Crispin was never a guy who would come out and do a funny promo. You know,
right?
You were never going to get
serious badass.
You were never going to get and never really wanted the lighter side of Chris Benoit.
No.
And I kind of want to get away from him really bad.
No, but I mean,
I
understand.
With Daniel Bryan, I've seen it. Look, I've seen him stop Matt. I remember he wrestled Alex Shelley. I think the show was like Arena Warfare. It was during that awesome ROH CZW feud.
Right.
He like stopped in the middle of the match and like I just started berating the fans. It was really funny. He's got like a charisma.
He does.
And he can do it as a baby face too. He's got a bit of a, you know.
You've interviewed him and I've heard him crack
stuff,
you up.
Yeah. The stuff. He is a funny guy. He's got a sense of humor.
That's what I'm saying.
And yeah, he does have. From a personality standpoint, he is more.
Personality is what we're looking for.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's charisma, but it's personality.
He can be bigger than Benoit. Daniel Bryan could be at his best, no worse than the Benoit Guerrero Jericho level.
Right, exactly, but let's go back to.
And that's a fine career to have.
Last thing on Benoit, I just want to circle back as an archetype. What I always thought would have been best would have been, for lack of a better term, blue collar Goldberg. No fireworks, no whatever, but you know how Goldberg's straight ahead, badass, black tights, that's how I always thought Benoit should have been promoted. That guy, serious.
Yeah.
Wolverine, they kind of did to whatever extent. But that's how
Now, granted, Goldberg
straight
was,
ahead,
again,
yeah.
The old wrestling mentality, Goldberg's a much bigger guy than Benoit.
Right. Benoit was kind of sawed off, so it would have been an issue there, but. Versus with Bryan, I don't see that at all. Like, that's the ceiling, is to do something like that.
No.
The personality that he has, everything like that, people are rallying, you know. But I mean, yes, it's a symptom. It's not just a catchphrase. It's the symptom of what people are seeing in his personality.
It reminds me of Yes, We Can.
I do not want to see that vegan out on the campaign trail or Kenyan Overlord this summer.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Hey, let me tell you something about Russell. How can we fix Wall Street if we don't fix Main Street first? Okay.
Cutting a nice Daniel Bryan promo here. But no, I think that is exactly where they could go. And again, and when I say WWE champion and eventually face of the company, I'm not naive enough to say his face turn becomes a rocket to the moon. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if they go sequentially, it could lead there.
Yeah.
Sequentially turn him, embrace the mega heat that he's got as a face, push him up the card. If the crowd responds, if the crowd treats him as one of the biggest things since the Attitude Era, react and respond accordingly.
Which they don't have a good track record of doing, but still.
Well, that's true. So are there any other major points to hit before what they could do for next year?
Who the hell knows what they're going to do? A bunch of guys are going to tread water, they're apparently going to bring in outside stars to headline the shelves.
Yeah, I mean, it's late April. They haven't even scheduled the draft yet. Again, I don't know how you do
it. The draft is stupid. They shouldn't do it.
Well, it's true. But, I mean, at the very least,
you're having all the SmackDown guys on Raw anyway. It's dumb.
Right. Well, they got
just treat SmackDown.
How do you get rid of the two world champions then? How do you do it?
Brock Lesnar beats them both.
You can't have a unification match before WrestleMania. That would be insane.
Maybe it tries. Maybe that's your drawing card
at
a SummerSlam.
Brock's got one title. Brock's got the other, and they face at WrestleMania. That could be interesting.
That wouldn't be bad.
That would be interesting.
Now, the Rock would have to then wrestle again, obviously, before WrestleMania.
And
you might start getting into a law of diminishing returns. I think Brock just unifying the titles before WrestleMania would be good. Just him beating the Raw champ and beating the SmackDown champ.
You can't waste that on a non-WrestleMania, particularly in the era where they're booking that
it's two separate shows, though. he would beat the Raw champion on a pay-per-view. He'd beat the SmackDown champion on another pay-per-view.
Which would be a unification match. You cannot put a unification match on a non-WrestleMania in an era where they're saying, hey, folks, only WrestleMania matters. Tune back this time next year.
What do the two titles really mean? What does the World Championship even mean right now? You just gotta. Sometimes you just gotta bite the bullet.
You can't throw it away just because it's been misused. Is my point.
There's SummerSlam. There's other people. Do do it at SummerSlam.
The other thing, and I don't know if you've ever fully embraced this point of mine or not, but here's my point too. Because I, in a perfect world, I'd like to see the titles unified, and maybe they could do that by next WrestleMania. What they got to do, if that is the case, because they're always worried. Well, what do we do for the other show? We're two touring groups, whatever. Take the tag team titles. Always have two single stars paired up and treat that like it's a serious friggin' deal.
Oh, not world tag team champions. Like they did, like in like the 01, 02 range, and, you know, like that. You mean
kind of
with like your Benoit Jerichos?
Yeah, but okay. Like, you know, where John Cena and I realize at the times that he was unified champion, it was like with the Miz, or it was this goofy thing. It was like the Miz for like 5 minutes. It was with David Otunga for another time.
With the wacky Miz, the partners that hate each other.
Yes,
the old Russo trademark.
But here's the thing: it was not only that with Cena. Cena just had a look on his face like he stepped in poop, not because he didn't like his partner, but because he had the tag pennies and what do I want this thing for? There has to be a reconditioning of the audience that those belts matter. And it takes time.
And you're probably not going to be able to bring back tag team wrestling in the classic sense because...
No, but that's what I'm saying.
People don't want to do it.
Always make it a pairing of two top guys. So it's four top guys in a match.
But I mean, you might start getting into things then. Like, well, are you going to just do things like the wacky and unlikely combo of RVD and Booker T? You know, I mean, are you going to just... I mean, I guess it's better than what it is.
But if you're using that as a...
And I guess it's also a good use of guys that you don't have anything to do.
That's what I'm saying. It's a commonsensical way to take guys out of the world title picture, but not make them look like mid-carders.
Yeah, but you got to make sure that you just don't... You're not just taking... See, here's what I fear with that. Yeah. They'll just take two guys that they kind of like and aren't doing anything with, put them together for no discernible reason and...
Well, you're talking about their application of it, but I think I mentioned before.
If Ziggler
and Swagger, make them champs tomorrow. I don't care they're taking them off the heels. Make them champs tomorrow,
no,
and that's
good,
the prototype.
That'd be a good start, but
yes.
I'm saying there has to be a hook for
every
team. But
you don't put jobbers like Air Boom against them and expect us to take them seriously?
No, but I'm saying if you are going to take two stars and put them as a team, as challenge or something like that.
Yeah.
The hook has got to matter between those two. Why are these two guys teaming up?
Right.
You know, that's got to matter.
Well, common pursuit of, damn it, these belts are so, you know, important, and this partner can help get me there.
Or you just have guys, you know, they don't do that anymore, guys who are, like, kind of friendly, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
That's true. So, all right, so these are some of the major points as we look forward to next year. And, all right.
And you said this was going to be a quick one.
I did. Last question for you. What would be your ideal choice for the Undertaker match for next year?
Either Cena or Lesnar.
Okay.
Or Rock.
Okay.
Those are your four top guys next year, WrestleMania.
Gotta be.
It's going to be, the top two matches will be a combination of those four.
Okay.
It's just got to be. I mean, ideally, look, would I love for them to build some new star? Yeah, but
we didn't even talk about this yet. Any credence whatsoever to Cena and Stone, or not,
Austin ain't getting any younger, but, well, I guess if they're just going to be that way about it,
yeah,
why not do that? I mean,
Austin has indicated, if you remember the brawls that they used to protect his neck to help him go as long as he did go, Austin said he's got at least one of those left.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Since it's not The Rock's first match back, you know, bringing Austin back, you talk about making people care about every match. I mean, hey, Steve Austin, pretty pop, you know, he brings a lot
right
to the table. And I think Austin Punk would have a lot that would certainly supersede Punk Jericho. I mean, Austin's obviously a much bigger star than Jericho ever was.
Do you believe that Punk would have to turn heel for that to happen? I don't buy that.
Austin, I heard, wants that. I heard that was one of his sticking points. He would want to do...
Punk as heel?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Because you know what the storyline would be.
Yeah.
And I agree that's what it should be.
Judgmentalism about drinking.
Yes. And that's what it should be. Because here's the thing. Here, see, because I do cringe. And granted,
let's go all the way and put Chris Brown in Steve Austin's corner.
Okay. Now, granted.
Okay. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable, yes.
What do they have in common? Wink, wink, nudge.
Yes, okay.
But, and you know me a little bit. Maybe this is just me and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Is it? And it's funny when he chooses to emphasize and de-emphasize it. Mm-hmm. When he's a face, he kind of de-emphasizes it. But is it? Like I kind of cringe when he talks about being straight edge. Like, isn't that kind of shitty? I'm sorry, I cursed it. Yeah, no, you had me for 3 hours. Isn't it like kind of like I'm like, really? Get with the program, pal. You know? I mean, I'm not trying to ruin kids' lives. Look, I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to do it, but wrestling fans. Like, I thought the storyline with Raven and Ring of Honor was so awesome. And now it was a very indie-ish storyline, and you can't do it. Like,
But Punk, it's organic to his character because he's all about a guy who comes from kind of a misfit subculture anyways. He's a nonconformist.
Yes.
It's straight edge is nonconformist, based on our society.
It would be weird because I think Punk would get the rub that you're kind of talking you'd hope Cena would get from The Rock.
See, I wouldn't even go there. I'd go face versus face. I'm confident CM Punk could pull a lot of cheers against Austin.
Here's the thing. I think the build up would be Punk as a heel, but he would just turn back. Like, it'd be weird because I think by the end of it he'd be a face again anyway. Because he'd carry the match, and I think Austin's got some respect for him that maybe The Rock doesn't have for Cena. That he would get Punk would get a rub out of an Austin match, win, lose, or draw, that Cena didn't get out of The Rock.
Yeah.
I think. I'd be all for that. I mean, Punk has got to do, I mean, I want to see him featured prominently. Triple H is another guy. What would he do?
Also, the whole thing of what they're now saying, and they say whatever they need to say at any given moment to suit what they're doing. Rock, the biggest star ever, because he would
no.
He wasn't bigger than Stone Cold. Let's leave Hogan out of this because you and I would have to concede something we don't want to have to concede about the Orange Goblin.
No, he's bigger than Hogan. Austin.
No. You think Austin was?
Yes. Vince McMahon said he was, so I'm going to take his word for it. It's his company.
Well, I was going to say, when I did the FDH Top 50 draws of all time, I had Hogan 1, Austin 2. You didn't argue with that, but okay.
Well, I might have been tired at the time.
Okay. Well, anyways, do we both agree Austin bigger than The Rock? Austin started the
You program. Know what? I will say this to Hogan, though, not to just immediately contradict myself. He didn't have a guy like The Rock during it. Savage, the gap between Hogan and Savage was much more than Austin Rock.
Yeah.
Because you got to say, hey, Austin was not a part of their huge period in 2000.
Right. But that's, and I'm not suggesting that anybody should let real life.
The Rock is definitely the third biggest superstar in the history of WWE.
But I'm saying he's behind Austin
and Hogan.
And when they, and Hogan. But when they try to pretend otherwise, it's kind of goofy. And it's not a big deal, but that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I don't think it's huge. It's not like when they say John Cena is the biggest of all time.
No. So, all right. This is now the last question. We had some things happen in the last year. CM Punk. With the turn midsummer as a result of the whole pipe bomb promo and everything like that. Do you see the road to the next WrestleMania looking clearer than the last one was, where we had some things kind of got in the way? R-Truth, for like 5 minutes, became a heel main eventer and then kind of went
back
the other way.
That was just stupid. I don't think they got in the way of anything. I think it was just a waste of time.
Okay. All right.
I don't think anything gets in the way. It just wastes time.
Okay.
There were a lot of things that didn't do favors to the current crew.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and the buy rate reflects this, it did not hurt overall business. People, I think, have just been conditioned, look, this is who you should care about, and who gives a crap about the rest of these guys, and we're going to, when it's time for the big show, we're going to ride with the guys that we say you should care about, and we're going to hope that you still care about them enough that we can do a big number.
Okay.
Who knows? They might bring Batista back. I mean, they might just start bringing everyone back and say, hey, you know what, guys? And you know what? The rest of you crew that worked the rest of the year, hey, you're going to be in a nice battle royal.
How did it take us till the last minute of this thing to wrestle him? Because that was the WrestleMania weekend. It was they've re-signed Lesnar and they've re-signed Batista. And yet, from the night of the first Raw afterwards, we haven't heard or talked.
It would be
whatever.
A mistake to bring them both back. They would kind of take away from.
Would have been
other.
True, but meanwhile,
they're very similar characters.
Ryback, Lord Tensai, they're doing all these other monster heels right as they're doing.
Yeah, but those are cartoonish.
Lesnar,
I'm not going to curse.
Okay.
They're cartoonish. Lord Tenzai is cartoonish and crappy. Lord Tenzai, I've already had enough of this guy.
Have you? Okay.
Oh, he stinks. He's bad. Get out of here.
They got to target what they're doing with him a little bit better, but I'm giving it more slack than you are. Meanwhile, what about...
I don't know if he's employed by next year's
WrestleMania. What about Ryback? I don't know if he has the ceiling that a Skip Sheffield did. I don't know that giving him that change, he seems more generic.
I don't know.
And by the way, isn't it...
I'm looking forward to this Dean Ambrose, John
that
Moxley.
Too,
with,
that
with
too.
His, I heard Foley's going to work with him. That right. sounds interesting. Look, it's a bit, we're just being too idealistic. These guys, realistically, when it comes to next year's WrestleMania, hopefully they're on the show.
And here's the thing.
I mean, to be featured, no way. Hopefully they're just on the show.
And we can leave it with this, I guess. The dichotomy continues in terms of when anything new or interesting is happening with a debut or anything like that, or anything in terms of storylines you can sink your teeth into, it's going to be on SmackDown. Then, when a guy gets over enough, if Ryback does get himself over or whatever, he'll get sucked over to Raw by fall. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So, all right, we can look forward to...
Sounds like Mitt Romney's America.
Which is something I don't want to live in myself. And God rest the souls of all the Republican and conservative sellouts that have gone for him.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So, all righty. On that decidedly non-wrestling note, yes. We'll wrap it here. This has been mini episode 113. Thank you very much,
and there was
Carol
nothing
Ross.
Mini about it.
No, there wasn't.